Let's not lose any time returning to the Barclays and their exciting family vacation.
Well, General, Dad said our vacation was supposed to be an adventure, and it sure seemed like it. It was Saturday afternoon, and we were stuck in the middle of nowhere because the car conked out on us. And while Dad thought it was the radiator and decided to take the cap off, a man that Donna thought was an axe murderer came walking up behind the car.
The axe murderer's gonna get Dad!
Hey,
that's enough.
You okay?
George! George! Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. The cap popped off. That was close. I almost got scalded by the hot water.
Thank God you didn't.
You know, you should never take the cap off a radiator while it's hot.
I learned. Thanks.
So, looks like this is the day for car trouble. Mine broke down about a quarter mile back. Well, it was my wife's car, really. Mind if I take a look at yours?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, that looks okay. And that? Yeah, your carburetor's dry as a bone.
But the gas tank is full.
Well, you didn't need to check the radiator at all. It's your fuel pump. Guess you and I both need to take a walk. I have a service station in town a few miles up the road. We can get my tow truck come back.
Don't trust him.
Quiet, Donna. let's go. How far up the road?
Oh, 4 or 5 miles.
Should we try to hitchhike, maybe?
You kidding? You never know what kind of lunatic will pick you up.
The town was called Hopwood. It had a gas station, a store, a little restaurant, and what they called a souvenir shop, all in one building. The tow truck driver's name was Chester. He wouldn't tell us his last name. He said everyone around town called him Chester, and we should too. I did, and it felt weird because it's not polite to call adults by their first names. Chester even let me ride with him in the tow truck cab. I kind of liked him. Chester tried to call some friend of his who owns a store that sells car parts, and they talked for 20 minutes about somebody's cow having a baby and somebody else's house getting painted. And finally, Chester asked if he had any fuel pumps, and he said no, but he could have one by Monday.
Monday?
But that's the day after tomorrow. Can't you get the part today?
No. Distributor Hank gets it from closes at 3 p.m. on Saturdays. And right now, it's already after 5.
But, we have to get to Florida. Isn't there something you can do to fix it temporarily? You know, just enough to get us there.
Do a temporary fix on a fuel pump? I guess you don't know much about cars.
He doesn't.
Yes, I do. Well, a little.
Yeah, no matter. If you knew a lot about cars, you wouldn't get this one fixed for Monday.
It's all right. We would have stopped somewhere to find a motel anyway.
Motel?
You do have a motel, don't you?
Nope. Closest motel is the Daisy Inn, about 20 miles up the road.
Then what are we supposed to do?
And I'll tell you what I think might work out a little bit better. If you and your family came to my house, plenty of room. I mean, you folks seem nice enough. And frankly, the Daisy Inn isn't the best place in the county to stay, if you know what I mean.
You're asking us to stay at your house?
Thank you, but that would be too much of an imposition.
Nah, yeah, no imposition at all. The good Lord gave me a big house with a lot of room, and I'd be honored if you'd stay. I'll tell you what. You consider it while I pull the tow truck around. If you want me to drive you to the Daisy Inn, I will. I'd be happier if you came home with me. Now, you think about it. I'll be right back.
He's either extremely generous or up to something.
I'm telling you, he's an axe murderer. I saw a movie about it once. He'll lure us back into his house and put us in his freezer in plastic sandwich bags.
This is a tough decision. Lord, what do you think we should do? Give me a clue,
Well, I just spoke to my wife on the radio, and she insists that you come back to the house. Even if you don't spend the night. She says you have to have dinner with us. I'll tell you, she's been doing all kinds of good cooking for the church picnic tomorrow.
Church picnic? How's that for a clue?
Not bad. Thanks, Lord.
So we went back to Chester's house. Of course, as soon as anything was said about food, Donna didn't think he was an axe murderer anymore. The house was only a little ways down the road, and Chester was right. It was big. We found out later that he had 8 kids who grew up there, and almost all of them moved out. Only one was left, named Ted. He was the same age as me. Chester's wife's name was Grace, and she was as nice as him. She kept running around the kitchen. Mom kept trying to help, but Grace wouldn't let her. It was kind of funny to watch. I've never seen Mom not be allowed to do something before.
Now, you just sit still. I know it's tough on a woman to take a long trip with two kids in the car.
But I feel like I should be doing something to help.
The best thing you can do for me is stay out of my way while I finish dinner.
But
nothing. Honey, you need to learn how to relax. Donna here would be more than happy to help me, wouldn't you, dear?
Huh? I was just wondering if you had some batteries for my...
You don't need batteries to peel these potatoes, darling. Now come on over here and wash your hands. Ted, did you finish sweeping the back porch?
No, Mama.
Well, get on with it then, and take Jimmy with you to help.
Ted and I went out to the back porch to sweep. It was a big back porch, nearly as big as our whole backyard. Well, maybe not that big, but it sure seemed like it. We could even play on it after we finished sweeping.
Hey, Ted, you want to play Space Aliens?
Play what?
You know, like I'm the overlord from the planet Grisanthium and you're the rebel space pirate from Alpha 16. Our brooms can be our lightsabers. I left my laser blaster in the car.
Your what?
Laser blaster.
That doesn't sound very fun.
What? Are you kidding?
Nah, I like to play David. You can be Jonathan.
David and Jonathan? You mean from the Bible?
Yeah, me and my friends pretend like I'm David and they're part of my band of men running from King Saul. And we have all kinds of adventures in the wilderness. You know, fighting the Philistines and Amalekites.
You do all that here on the back porch?
No, we go down into the woods over there. We built a hideout near the creek and pretend it's the Brook of Besor.
Besor?
Yeah, that's where David and his men camped when they were chasing the Amalekites. Remember? The Amalekites kidnapped David's family and took all their things.
How do you know all this stuff?
We learned about it in Sunday school. How do you know about the overlords of Gantham and the rebel pirates from Alfred 67?
Not in Sunday school, that's for sure.
Come on, I'll show you where the hideout is before it gets dark.
It was one of the neatest hideouts I ever saw. They built it with real wood and then covered it with leaves and bushes so you couldn't see it unless you knew where it was. While we were there, the Philistines suddenly attacked, and Ted was David, and I was his best friend Jonathan, and we fought them. We would have won, except Grace called us to come in for dinner.
Jimmy, you're all wet.
Ted, what have I told you about playing in the creek before dinner?
Sorry, Mama. There was a band of renegade Philistines come to attack our house.
Oh? Did you get rid of them?
Yep, we did, didn't we, Jimmy?
We sure did.
Well, good. Now, both of you go get cleaned up and come to the table.
Okay.
That's funny. You know, I can't remember the last time Jimmy played in the woods back home. Now, he and his friends usually plant themselves in front of a video.
I wonder where Chester and your husband got off to.
Oh, I thought I saw them down by the garage. Or is that a barn? Looking at the fishing poles.
Oh, I should have figured. Chester is always looking for someone to go fishing with. I'll bet you they'll go tomorrow before church.
Oh, not George. I don't think he likes things like that.
Honey, Chester wants me to go fishing with him before church tomorrow. They got a beautiful lake not too far from here. You mind if I go?
Sure, if you want.
Great!
What a great vacation we were having. Well, most of us. Donna was mad because she didn't have batteries for her tape player and her fingernails got messed up while she was peeling the potatoes. But she didn't spoil it for the rest of us. That night I slept on the floor in Ted's room. We kept talking and talking until Chester threatened to split us up if we didn't go to sleep. Then Ted woke me up to help him milk the cow. I thought it would be fun.
Psst, Jimmy, wake up.
What? What's wrong?
Come on, it's time to milk the cow. You said you wanted to help.
I do. In the morning. Wake me up in the morning. It's still dark outside.
But it is morning. Come on. Now is when we have to milk the cow.
Never mind. Let the cow milk herself.
It doesn't work that way. Let's go.
I couldn't get my eyes open until Ted squirted me with the milk. He thought it was funny. After that, we went to the chicken house to help Chester get some eggs. We got back inside just in time to see Dad come down. He and Chester were going to do some fishing before church. Dad looked as sleepy as I did. Morning, Dad. Dad and Chester came back without any fish, but they told us stories about a couple that got away. I don't know if Dad ever laughed as hard as he did that morning. Finally, we all piled into Grace's station wagon and went to church. It was a neat little white church in the middle of a big field. Our Sunday school class met in one of the rooms in a little building on the side.
Psst, Jimmy, I think I ought to warn you about Mr. Bostitch.
Yeah? How come?
He's a little different. He doesn't teach like most Sunday school teachers. He wants it to seem like we're really in the Bible story.
Okay, kids, time to get class started.
I don't get it. Watch and see.
First, I see by my little card here that we have a guest. Jimmy Barkley, and he's visiting us from a place called Odessa.
Odyssey.
Beg your pardon?
It's called Odyssey. Odyssey.
Right, Odessa. So you kids be sure to make him feel at home. Now, where did we leave off last week?
We were talking about Noah and the 40 days and 40 nights of rain.
That's right. Now, the first thing we need to do is imagine what it's like having an ark full of animals. Hey, Wendell, bring in those animals. So Noah loaded them two by two. Wait a second here. We got three chickens here. And where are the cows? Oh, good. Thanks, Wendell.
I guess I have a better idea of what it was like on the ark now. The only problem was they couldn't get all the animals rounded up in time for worship service. So the pastor's sermon was interrupted by a bunch of chickens and rabbits running through the sanctuary. He didn't seem to mind, though, because he kept right on preaching. And then it was time for the picnic. We set up tables with more food than I ever saw before. And there were people wandering around and laughing. And Ted let me meet some of his friends, and we had another battle against the Philistines. And, well, it's hard to describe it all. The only person who wasn't having a good time was Donna.
Whew. Boy, what a day. Okay, if I sit down?
I don't care.
You haven't been doing much today. Why not?
I don't know. I don't feel like it.
Oh, honey, why are you so determined not to have a good time?
I'm not determined not to have a good time. I just think all this stuff is boring. I mean, who cares about throwing horseshoes and three-legged races? It's dumb.
No, you wouldn't think so if you were doing this in Odyssey.
But we're not in Odyssey.
No, we certainly aren't.
Mom, come quick. I need a partner for the egg-tossing contest.
Okay, I'm coming. Will you join me?
Nah, I'll stay here.
Well, if you insist.
What's her problem?
I think she's homesick for Odyssey.
Mom and I lost the egg-tossing contest. She threw it a little too hard and it hit me on the top of the head. She said it was an accident. But she was smiling, and I don't think I believe her. Donna kept pouting under the tree, and nobody could get her to play any games. And then I remembered something. Hey, Grouch Face!
Get lost, Jimmy. I'm not in the mood for you.
I brought you a present.
Go away.
Really, here.
This is some kind of trick.
It isn't. It's Mr. Whitaker's invention. He called it Wit's Boredom Buster. He gave it to me before he left and said not to open it until I was absolutely, without question, no doubt about it, as bored as I've ever been in my life. I'm not bored, but you are. Besides, if you're going to sit and think about Odyssey, you may as well hold a piece of it.
Don't break it. It's probably some sort of gag. Let me see. What's this? Sure is weird looking. I wonder how you make it work. Wait, here's a little tag. Try to turn this on. Ha, that'll be easy.
Will Donna be able to figure out Wit's Boredom Buster? We'll find out when our adventure in Odyssey continues right after this. And now, the conclusion of today's adventure in Odyssey.
Donna be easy working on Wits Boredom Buster. It wasn't. See, it was kind of like a puzzle, except it was like a box, too. And part of it opened up and turned, and another part of it pushed in, and, well, an hour went by of more eating and more contests and more playing, and she was still over there trying to figure it out. I was going over to help her when all of a sudden...
I did it! I did it! Look, Jimmy, it's lighting up!
You got it to work!
What's going on? I heard you yelling.
Daddy, Daddy, look! I got Wits Boredom Buster to work.
Wow, look at all the colors.
Hi, kids. I'm John Avery Whittaker, and you're holding Wits Boredom Buster. You've probably spent a fair amount of time trying to figure out this little contraption, huh? Well, the time you spent playing with it was time you weren't bored. Neat, huh? And it just goes to show you how even something as silly as this can be fun if you set your mind to it. Now, the Boredom Buster is going to turn off, and you should go find something even more fun to do. Bye!
Should have figured something like that would happen.
You have to admit, it worked. You haven't been bored.
I got it to work, didn't I?
Yes, you did. You know what Witt said is true. Anything can be fun if you set your mind to it. Even outside of Odyssey.
Okay, let's go. No more sitting around. It's the last big event of the day, the tug of war. Everybody has to be involved in this one.
How about it, Donna? It's the last game of the day.
Well, I guess I could do it, since it's the last game.
Good girl.
So Donna played in the tug of war, and Chester even put her up front on our side. He said she'd have more energy than anybody else. So half of us pulled a rope on one side, and the other half pulled from the other side. And there was a big puddle of mud in the middle. And somebody blew a whistle, and we pulled, and they pulled, and we pulled, and the next thing I knew, Donna was in the mud. I think everybody stopped for a second to see if she'd be mad. But when she finally got the mud out of her face, she was laughing. I laughed too. I've always wanted to see her get dirty just once. Pretty soon, our whole side had mud all over the place, and then it was being picked up and thrown, and everybody was laughing so hard we got tears in our eyes. We went back to Chester and Grace's and got washed. We were tired, but it was a good kind of tired. I think it was a little sad, too, because we remembered that we had to leave the next morning. Chester let Donna call Wendy, her best friend back in Odyssey, to say hello.
Hello?
Wendy, hi, it's Donna.
Where are you?
Our car broke down and we're in a little town called Hopwood. What are you guys up to there?
Nothing. It's been real boring. How about you? Guess you're pretty bored, too.
Bored? No way. We've been having a blast. We had a big church picnic today and threw horseshoes and ran relay races.
I don't think I understand girls at all. Anyway, the next morning came before any of us really wanted it to. Chester got the fuel pump put on the car real quick, in spite of Dad's help. And then we were hugging goodbye.
You folks will have to stop by here again on your way back from Florida.
Oh, yes.
You know we will. You still have to teach me your technique for fly fishing, remember?
That takes a long time to
learn. Hey, Ted, when we come back, we'll finish that new section on the hideout.
Have
no fair finishing
trip.
Before I can help.
We'll be praying
Don't
for
worry.
You.
Don't worry. We'll wait.
Thank you, Grace, and thanks for everything.
Oh, it was nothing.
Oh, it was.
Bye-bye, Donna.
Bye, Grace.
Bye, Grace. Bye, Chester. I'm sorry if I was, you know, a pain.
Oh, not at all.
Are you kidding?
No.
You were the best tug-of-war player on the team.
She was.
You're just saying that.
Yeah, you're right, I am. But you looked awfully cute with the mud all over you.
Oh, dear.
Well, we'll see you.
Come
yeah.
visit
yeah,
us on
bye.
Bye.
And then we left. One day I'll write about the rest of the trip in my journal, but as far as I'm concerned, that was the best part of it. Funny how it changed things. About an hour after we left, Donna realized she forgot her cassette player back at Chester's. She said she didn't need it anymore.
Well, looks like the entire Barkley family learned something from the good people of Hopwood. Even Donna learned a thing or two, I think. You know, what happened to Donna is something we should all consider. Do you remember the lesson?
It's what we get out of something often depends on what we put into it. If you have those times when you think you're bored, then maybe you're not trying hard enough not to be bored. For instance, if you're riding in the car for a long time, rather than sit and complain that you don't have anything to do, make up something to do for yourself, like reading your Bible or singing praise songs from church. You could even have a contest with the rest of your family to see who can remember the most Bible verses and where they're found. Or you could play an Adventures in Odyssey tape. It might also be the perfect time to talk to God about things you've been meaning to say to Him. If you use your imagination properly, there are lots of ways to keep from being bored. Adventures in Odyssey is a production of Focus on the Family. All stories are written and directed by Paul McCusker and Phil Lawler. Our production engineers are Bob Luttrell and Dave Arnold. Our producer is Steve Harris and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again for another Adventure in Odyssey.